Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 FM, AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. Free Odyssey app, you go to your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, you download the Odyssey app, look for WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's it. You have us. Hooks it up to your CarPlay, play it wherever you go, clean digital signal, it's all good. 66 degrees and rain outside on this Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. It's about 3:10. Started a little bit late today. We had the mouse go missing today, so the mouse went for a run. And first time in 2.5 years that's happened, but we have it all together here. Even with a backup plan now, because that's me. You know, you need a backup to the backup. Redundancy is the way to go, and you need contingency plans in place. But we are here. And we have plenty of stuff to talk about today. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Get involved with the conversation. If you're running for something and you'd like to chime in, tell us about your platform. Maybe answer some questions about what you plan to do if you are elected for the people of your school district, your township, your city, or wherever else you're running for. So I did see a couple of things that... It's interesting. I saw reports today that some sources in some senators in the Senate, unnamed at this time, of course, because that's always the way it goes, are talking about possibly doing an intervention with Senator John Fetterman. Now, what that means, I guess we'll have to see. But it's interesting, when John Fetterman ran for Senate, well, he was running for Senate, you know, he had his stroke. And listen, your health should be first and paramount. And a lot of people said, you know, that's what you should be focusing on. You're not taking on a stressful job like becoming a senator. And it appears that a lot of Democrats wished at this point that he would have followed that path, because there is a lot of regret going on in the Democrat circles when it comes to John Fetterman. And it's interesting now that these stories are coming out from past staffers and people around him, his inner circle, is saying how bad he actually is. And this is nothing more than he stepped out of line with the mainstream Democrats, and they are flexing back at him. That's all this is. I think they've had it with him. I think he's someone that they're not going to bully. I think they've realized that, which is now why they've resorted to, you know, these unnamed source articles and these threats that colleagues of his may be seeking an intervention. And again, what that means, we'll see. But while he was running, had an extremely poor debate, really, speech was affected directly after that. And even when he checked himself into Walter Reed for, you know, some depressant issues, some issues that he had going on, there was nothing wrong with him. He's our guy. You know, he's the next Democratic senator from Pennsylvania in the U.S. Senate. But now when he's not, he's gone on his own as far as some nominations are concerned, I believe just one. He's been an outspoken critic of Hamas and an ally of Israel, which is, a big no-no in a lot of Democratic circles. You know, either you play the neutral fence and you kind of stay quiet like a Chuck Schumer, where you kind of give a little support, but not too much, because, you know, you don't want to be called out by your own. You know, he's been outspoken as far as that goes, and on a lot of things. You know, we've talked about it here. You know, he's surprised a lot of people. You know, he still votes Democrat 98% of the time, but they're not happy with him talking out of turn and I guess having his own mind. And it's not just John Fetterman. You have David Hogg, who absolutely should not be in his position as vice chair of the DNC, has also gone on his own. And allegedly the committee took a vote to remove him after he was elected, by the body, the DNC. So is that the thing now? You know, we don't agree. If you don't agree with the person, regardless of them being voted in, you just get rid. We got to get rid of this guy because he's not one of us anymore. So it's interesting that those are the undertones that's going around. And while that's happening, while you have a Democrat Party without a leader, without a message, without a platform, other than they're going to take your Medicaid. Medicaid's going away. They're cutting it. Massive cuts to Medicaid. You see, they kind of strayed away from the massive cuts to veterans. And now it's all Medicaid. And now that the budget reconciliation is going through and kind of come to light more, you're going to start hearing the deficit. They're adding trillions to the deficit. And more of the nonsense. You had the senator from Connecticut come out and basically said that Trump was filling his pockets with money from Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense. I guess when you have no platform and nothing to say, you could simply make it up as you go along and put it out there. That, along with the Medicaid cuts that actually haven't been cut, you know, a work requirement program for able-bodied individuals is not a cut. It's making sure that the fiduciary duty to the taxpayer who's funding this shindig is there and in place, which it should be. And illegal immigrants, you know, taking a big cut of that money, yeah, should stop. And I think it's going to be a hard sell to the Democrats in inner cities like Chicago and New York and Baltimore and other areas that, you know, you're Medicare might be in jeopardy in a couple of years because we decided to fund illegal immigrants. I don't think they're going to buy that. So the only thing they seem to be getting on board with is pushing around ICE agents and federal agents and local police at ICE detention facilities where there are violent criminals who happen to be illegal immigrants inside. And there has been a resolution put forth today to remove those three members of Congress from their committees because of their actions and their behavior towards these federal agents. We'll see where that goes. And, you know, there's also been talk of holding these individuals accountable. But listen, if you break the law, you should be held accountable. Simple as that, right? That's the way we're doing things now. That on top of the April inflation numbers are in, which were below expectations for the third straight month. Grocery prices are at their lowest in 5 years. Still elevated because they skyrocketed, but are their lowest in 5 years. Gasoline also down for the third straight month. I believe it was $66 a barrel earlier today. One of the things that Saudi Arabia is negotiating with because they need oil about $100 a barrel, and a lot of other things. You know, this Qatar, plane issue, which I think is a non-issue. I think that's up there with the 51st state. I mean, just knowing people I know in the intelligence community and in the aviation community, it would be near impossible to take a plane donated by a foreign nation to use as Air Force One. It would need to be stripped down to bare bones and basically rebuilt from scratch, probably by the Boeing people who are behind already in delivering our Air Force One, our replacement. But to take the jet, I think it would be stupid to not take a jet and repurpose it for other things. For instance, using it as the static display for the Trump Library, if that's in the future, would be a perfect example for that. You would not be taking a decommissioned plane that could be used for other things. I say take the plane, repurpose its inner use, and use it to deport illegal immigrants that are criminals here in America. I think that would be a perfect use for it as well. So I think it would be stupid to say, no, we're not going to take it. But as far as using it for Air Force One, I think that's a non-starter. And again, I think it's being used now as sort of a Canada's our 51st state, and it riles everyone up and everybody gets crazy about something. While in turn, you know, there's peace deals between India and Pakistan being brokered. There's negotiations for peace between Ukraine and Russia ongoing now for the first time in a long time. Inflation numbers are down. The tariff agreements are starting to come in. Again, they're just agreements. They're not pacts at this point. So we'll see as it moves forward. But everybody needs to take a deep breath and relax. They're taking our medical personnel and our benefits away from our veterans. That kind of went by the wayside. You don't even hear the ads that much more about attacking congressmen like Rob Bresnahan about his, you know, tell him to stop cutting Medicaid because it's 100 days and nothing's been cut. Matter of fact, a lot of the money is adding benefits for disabled when it comes to Medicaid. Will there be work requirements for some? Possibly. Will illegal immigrants be removed from the program? Hopefully. If you want to sit there and tell the American people who depend on this that these people should also be included for them, you go ahead and do that. You'll be on the losing end of that battle too. Again, another 80-20 battle that you'll be taking on. So, you know, that's just some of the things happening for today when with everything going on. It's going to be interesting because now there's rumors that Syria may be involved in some sort of negotiations in Saudi Arabia with the Trump administration. That's astounding news, if true. And to see where that moves forward and what happens is interesting. But another, what, $600 billion promised by Saudi Arabia in investments in the U.S.? Saudi Arabia is in desperate need of some AI infrastructure where the technology comes for us. That would most likely include nuclear power as far as powering such systems, because oil alone cannot power these systems. It takes too much requirement for that sort of thing. So we got lots else to talk about, you know, local and around the nation and even the world, like we say in our opening credits. It is 3:21. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store, located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. My proudest part, first of all, let me get that right out of the way. They're proudly made here in the USA, and I've been using them for 2 years now. I made the mistake a couple of weeks ago of being down in Annapolis and not having them, walking around in my dress shoes on the cobblestone roads that are down there, and I paid the price. It took me, you know, 4 or 5 days of having my arch supports back in my shoes to straighten things out and kind of get my feet back to where they weren't in pain. And now I make sure. You know, I was away this weekend down in Virginia Beach to move my daughter in. I made sure that I had a pair of my inserts that I could put in any shoes. I had 3 different shoes. You know, I had my sneakers to move. I had some, you know, nice going out shoes for the beach or something like that if we went down to the boardwalk. And I could just pop these insoles out, put them in the other one, put in the inserts, the arch supports. It's great, and I won't go anywhere without them now. I learned my lesson 2 weeks ago. So visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com, because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Welcome back. It's interesting. Rob, what flavor Kool-Aid do you prefer? FYI, inflation went up in April. Yes, but it was below expectations for the third month in a row. It's interesting how now it's going up all of a sudden. Yes, it's called deflation when it goes down. But if it's gone down below expectations, that's how you moderated it for the past 4 years. Now those standards don't count anymore, huh? Here you go. I got another one. 92% of Medicaid people work now. Work requirement would cost dollars and kick people off. Many errors, too. Well, that's just not the case, because Workfare was instituted in New York City, and it worked extremely well, and it emptied the rolls by about 80%. And I explained those reasons in past shows for many reasons why. So, yeah, it does work. You just don't want it to happen for some reason. And if 92% of Medicaid people are working now, then what's the big deal if it's instituted, right? That would be my my rebuttal to that. So you have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about at all. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick on work requirements. Joe.
Yes, thank you, Rob. Hey, before I get to that, I just want to mention something quick. You know, the news media loses their mind because they have TDS. This man's a little smarter than people give him credit for. You know, he keeps talking about Canada, the 51st state. Well, he knows Canada's not going to become the 51st state. And he probably won't want a whole bunch more of progressives voting in our elections anyway. But here's what is interesting. The Canadian province of Ottawa, which, Calgary, it's Calgary, it shares a border with Montana. And the people of Calgary, there is a serious movement afoot that they are trying to explore whether or not they can get enough public support to actually secede from Canada and join America as our 51st state. So when all this talk goes on, you know, they don't actually realize what's going on and what I think Trump is actually trying to do, because he's probably not ignorant of this and what the people of Calgary are at least some of them, proposing. Now, that being said, my main point that I called about, you know, I told you before what I do now for a living, now that I'm technically retired, and the amount of work that is out there for any kind of just, you know, yard work or just what you call menial labor, it's incredible. I could do it all day long, every day if I wanted to. There are so many things in our society being neglected, like, you know, city parks, city streets, neighborhoods, farms that are failing because they don't have enough workers to keep them going, and we should be growing our own food to give to school children. That instead we put people on welfare, we pay for health care at an exorbitant cost, which is being ripped off. The health systems know this. They're making money hand over fist on this. And we're basically just treating people living unhealthy lifestyles, and everybody's okay with it because they're all making money, and the people who don't want to work and just live that, they get to do it and have somebody else pay for it. It's really absurd. We need to put these people to work and get them off of the drugs and the alcohol and everything else that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I, for people to say that there's not much of this going on out there, that most of the, most people on Medicaid work already and such, I know at least a dozen people who are scamming that system. They've doctor shopped for different diagnoses. They've had children and then doctor shopped for their children to get the same diagnosis so they can get their SSI for their children as well. I've seen it firsthand. And if you know anyone personally, and if you know what they actually are suffering from and what they're not suffering from, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of, these are able-bodied people that have been taught to beat the system. And not only do they beat the system for themselves, it's generational. I know people that do this. There are people out there all around us that do it, just like the unemployment insurance, how that gets beat up all the time, and welfare, and all these programs. And listen, requiring someone, if they're able-bodied, to work, if you're disabled and you have the documentation to prove you're disabled, then have, you know, so be it. You're actually having benefits added to you under this program. So,
well, yeah, well, what's so dishonest about it is, like you said, everybody knows it's going on. Rob, you go to the cities, there are whole neighborhoods of people living like this. And that's why, you know, nobody wants to live in those neighborhoods because they're just, as a society, they're just shot out.
Well, it's not even neighborhoods, Joe. It's why would, you know, if you were brought up a certain way and you were told, hey, this is how you beat the system, this is how you get a check every month without doing anything. You know, there is a certain people out there, and it transcends demographics. I know white people who are doing it. I know black people, Hispanic people that are doing it. That has nothing to do with it. It's that attitude to where, hey, you know, here's an out for you. And it could start off where, hey, I think I have these problems, and the parent, well, I feel sorry for you. Yes, let's take you to this doctor. Oh, this doctor didn't say what we wanted them to say. Let's say, listen, after your third or fourth doctor, I'm telling you, you're going to find someone to give you the diagnosis you want to have, as long as, especially in the age of internet where people are researching and saying, okay, I have to say this, I have to say this, I have to say this now. It happens. It's happening more and more. We all know people that's doing it. And if anyone's out there saying, I don't know anyone that does this, you're making this up, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Well, they are. But when it comes to the politicians, Rob, especially in the people who debate this issue, they know that this is going on. That's what's so dishonest about it. They know what's going on, where you've got, and like you said, it's entire generations. But unfortunately, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So primarily middle-class people live together in middle-class areas. Rich people live in rich areas, and people in poverty who are the biggest recipients of these programs, they tend to live together. And that's what I'm saying. Our elected officials know this.
Well, they know it, but these people are also, regardless of their diagnosis, and our elected officials know this, they're still voters, and that's all they care about.
Well, that's it. That's what it comes down to, absolutely.
All right.
So,
Joe, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. It's 3:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 66 degrees. Some peaks of sun outside, but it was raining. And it's going to rain. So this Michigan Democrat, Representative Sri Thanadar, has introduced articles of impeachment, or actually an impeachment resolution, as privileged on Tuesday afternoon. Now, what this means, and it's not going anywhere, but what it means is leaders have 2 days of the House in session to take up the legislation. Now, the GOP leaders could move to table the motion, a procedural vote, aim to scuttle the piece of legislation without having lawmakers vote on it itself. But an impeachment vote would likely put vulnerable House Democrats in a tough spot. And again, this is where they're going with this. You're doing this again. It collapsed on you the last time, and you're going to go there again. So that just is this afternoon, a single Democrat. This Democrat from Michigan, the guy who looked like, when I first saw him, I thought it was Jimmy Fallon doing an SNL skit or something. But he has submitted a resolution, and it's going to hurt his own party for the most part. So, yeah, have at it. Go through with it. Go down that road again. We'll see what's going on. And it's interesting to see them, we talked at the beginning of the show of them coming after Fetterman real hard. There's been a bunch of articles, and listen, he's been holding his own, but now there's unnamed senators in the Senate that are possibly looking to do an intervention with him. And what that exactly means, we'll see. And what is he up? 2028, I believe he's up for re-election, and I think he's vulnerable. I think Republicans should be getting someone loaded up who they think can do a good challenge for him here in Pennsylvania. But I also believe he's going to be primaried by Democrats. I think that's inevitable. I think we're going to see that. I don't think they will rally behind him. I think there's just too much contention. The party's too much at odds when it comes to John Fetterman. They were willing to overlook everything, including, you know, his stroke and his medical condition, his checking himself into Walter Reed, as long as he was a tried and true Democrat. But now he's going off the reservations here and there, and they don't like that. So now you have these stories coming out. And listen, I don't think John Fetterman, Senator Fetterman's going to be the type of person to take this lightly. I think he's going to hold a grudge. I think he's going to let fellow Democrats who come after him know it, that he's not happy with them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And listen, our local elections here, there's rumors going around that someone who's running for mayor here may be eyeing up a congressional run. I actually think that she'd be better off running for Fetterman's spot and challenging him in a primary there. I think running for the local congressional seat, you're only pulling from pretty much the same voters you have here. And there's a mixed signal when it comes to the mayor of Scranton as far as re-election. She's running. She knows these rumors are out there. Everyone knows these rumors are out there that there's possibly an eye for a congressional run in 2026. But she's running for mayor and has yet to answer the question. If you are elected mayor, if the people of Scranton entrust you with leading them again for another term as mayor, do you commit to fulfilling that term? And that question has yet to be answered. It's ignored for the most part. No one is really asking the question in local mainstream media. And when it is brought up, it's pushed aside. But I think she has a better chance of fooling the rest of the people in Pennsylvania than she does the people here in our backyards in the Scranton area and the congressional district that's caught there. But I guess we'll see where it goes. My gut instinct is, yes, this is just a stepping stone. She's going to look to get the nomination as mayor. She's going to look to run for mayor. And shortly after that, I think we'll see brighter horizons, because I think everyone or most people can agree that this is simply a stepping stone and always has been. But I guess we shall see. But if she wants to prove me wrong and call up and say, hey, I absolutely commit to fulfilling my term as mayor if I'm reelected mayor, and give that promise to the people of Scranton, I think that would be a great thing if that's what you want to do. So we shall see. It is 3:43 here at WILK. We'll be back. We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. 66 degrees at 3:47 on this Tuesday, May 13th. So you have this Democrat representative issuing a resolution for impeachment for Donald Trump. And now you have a resolution, I talked about the opening of the show, for the three members of Congress that stormed the ICE facility in Newark to remove them from their committees. Which vote do you think will actually take place and when? I just think it's a simple majority, and the Republicans have the majority of the House to remove these individuals from their committees. I don't even think you'll have a majority of Democrats in the House vote for an impeachment of Donald Trump at this point over the nonsense that they're bringing forth again, especially knowing the losing situation it was at the first part of it. So a judge also refuses to block the IRS from sharing data to identify and deport people illegal in the U.S. Former acting IRS commissioner, who resigned as previously acting commissioner, announced his retirement, an unprecedented taxpayer data release. But a federal judge yesterday refused to block the IRS from sharing immigrants' tax data with Immigration and Customs Enforcement for the purpose of identifying and deporting people illegally in the U.S. A win for the Trump administration. U.S. District Judge Fendrick denied a preliminary injunction in a lawsuit filed by nonprofit groups. They argue that undocumented immigrants who pay taxes are entitled to the same privacy protections as U.S. citizens and immigrants who are illegally in the country. Well, yes, but you're not breaking the law. Simple as that. And should people here illegally be working illegally here, right? That's why we have a whole I-9 form to prove that you are legally able to work here. If you are here illegally or extended a visa that is no longer valid, then that your information should be open game to make sure you follow the law. That was the agreement to your visa, your work visa, if that's what you had. So good. Good. We'll see where it goes from here. But it's interesting, nonprofit groups who don't pay taxes at all instituted this lawsuit, huh? It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:54, 66 degrees. So a local man was shot over a $5 drug debt in Wilkes-Barre. And this seems to be something that we've been discussing more and more for our area. And it just goes to show you that even minor drug offenses are, this is the reason why there's a war on drugs. And it could be minor drug offenses. It could be something, you know, buying prescription pills or, you know, off the beaten path. We just saw, you know, a local volunteer fire department member who was killed, blunt force trauma, shot, body was burned. By their drug dealer, buying, you know, they had an opioid addiction problem from some pain medication due to surgeries or injuries that they had. It became a substance abuse problem. They were no longer or not getting their proper or needed medicine through doctors and went to the streets to get the medicine. Something went wrong in that transaction, which led to the alleged drug dealer allegedly bludgeoning them, blunt force trauma, and shooting them, and then taking the body and dumping it and burning it. Here's another instance, a Wilkes-Barre man whose car was smashed up during a confrontation over a $5 marijuana debt, slashed a woman's hand, and shot her boyfriend during the dispute in the Heights section over the weekend. At a time where we're discussing legalizing recreational marijuana here, and let me remove a misnomer that's out there. Legalizing recreational marijuana does not do away with the illegal marijuana trade. Matter of fact, in most states, it has increased it. We've seen this in New York. We've seen this in Colorado. We've seen this in states that have instituted legal marijuana. With the amount of tax that states want to place on this, sometimes it's cheaper to get it from the streets. They can compete. And here's a $5 marijuana debt where a woman's hand was slashed and shot her boyfriend during it. 24-year-old from Empire Street was jailed without bail on aggravated assault charges following a dispute that took place on Saturday. According to the complaint, the two individuals, the buyer and his girlfriend, went to the home of the drug dealer, alleged drug dealer, Saturday morning to confront him regarding a $5 marijuana debt he allegedly owed them. He told police that when the suspect, who they knew as Sonny, failed to answer the door, began smashing his BMW in an effort to entice him to come outside, according to the police. And this is over $5 worth of marijuana, allegedly. The homeowner did indeed decide to come outside, wielding a knife and a .38 caliber revolver tucked in his waistband as he met the visitors. According to the complaint, a video of this ensuing conflict depicted the individual approaching another with a bat before a gunshot sounds off, and they retreated to their vehicle. Again, all over a $5 marijuana debt. During questioning, they acknowledged a whole bunch of ruckus outside his home. With a man coming at him with a baseball bat, he decided to discuss the matter further. One of them was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault and 1 carrying a concealed firearm without a license. Well, that's always a problem. Magisterial district judge arraigned him on charges and denied bail, deeming him a danger to society. Being held at Luzerne County Correctional Facility with a preliminary hearing scheduled for May 22nd. So, you know, allegedly nonviolent crime, right? Just marijuana offense. No, he's a drug dealer. Be it marijuana, be it pills, be it fentanyl, be it cocaine, be it whatever. You're a drug dealer. And simply legalizing recreational marijuana, and listen, let that work its way through the system. But just know that it is not going to do away with illegal marijuana. There is still going to be a market for it. There's still going to be clientele for it. There's still going to be people who sell it for whatever reason. You know, they have a stronger, they have a better supplier. It's cheaper because it doesn't have the taxes paid to it. Whatever the situation does, it's been proven that it does not do away with it. Now, for the people who follow the rules, the people who literally, legitimately just want to use recreational marijuana, don't want to get involved with drug dealers. I don't understand anyone who would just say at this point in their life, hey, recreational marijuana is legal. Let me go try some. Is it people who have bought illegal marijuana all along that simply are going to buy it legally now? Is that what we're looking to do? I just don't think someone like myself who just has never smoked marijuana, never tried marijuana, just never had an inkling for it. All of a sudden, because it's legal, I'm going to go, hey, I'm going to try this stuff. I just don't see that happening. Maybe there's a few. Maybe there's someone that's, you know, somebody can convince them, hey, it'll help with some pain or your anxiety or whatever it is, and they try it. You know, so I'm sure there is a few out there. But it's also not going to do away with the illegal use. And again, it does add to additional problems. We've talked about them, but, you know, it's legal in other states. Let it work its way through the system and see where it goes. And here in Pennsylvania, at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to go further.